This is a life-changing message from New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas. And now, let's join Dr. I.V. Hilliard.
I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. All right, there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and there in verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the Apostle Paul giving instruction and exhortation and encouraging Timothy to hold his course and to continue in the things of God. And he has confidence that Timothy has the ability to do so because he says that Timothy has the proper foundation. We're teaching now on parenting and our responsibility to give our children in this generation the proper scriptural and biblical foundation so that we may build in them a God consciousness. We said that the power to define is the power to determine destiny. So in order for you to be a good parent, you really need to know what's God's expectation of you as a parent is. What does God require? And you know, I am really convinced that when we know what God requires and know that the help that God makes available to us, it's going to be very easy for us to enjoy the parenting state. Paul said this about various states of life. He said that he had learned that whatever state he was in, he said he had learned to be content. He understood that every state in life that he was in, that he had to maximize that state, and you maximize that state by learning. So it is with the parental state. When you understand what God wants you to do as a parent, what God wants you to be as a parent, and his power that is available for you, then you enjoy the state of raising a generation, raising an individual who's well-balanced and capable of making godly choices and capable of handling the various challenges of life in a manner that glorifies God. And so that is our role as parents. We're not to raise an error-free child, a perfect child. That's not possible, amen? But we want to raise an individual who has a God consciousness so that they can make godly choices and they can serve God with their lives. Now, please turn with me, Bibles, to Psalms 127. Psalms 127. All right, in Psalms 127, we began to show how that this ought to be a blessed state. That's a parental state, the Bible says, is a blessed state. So it says, verse 3, Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed. They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So the Bible says in the Amplified, verse 5, part A says, Happy, blessed, and fortunate is the man whose quiver is full of them. So it says here that having children ought to be a very happy and enjoyable time in your life. Now, we began to also show that the believer has the responsibility to raise a godly generation by walking upright before the children. That's our responsibility. Now, I want you to see what the Spirit of God is doing in our church. It's doing more than teaching us how to be parents of our own children, but he's doing more than that. The Spirit of God wants us to see and embrace our responsibility as a church to raise a godly generation. That we are all, as it were, spiritual parents to every child in this church, every teen in this church. And it's our responsibility to instill in them a God consciousness so they grow up loving God, grow up to serve God. That's our responsibility. Amen? Now, please turn with me Bibles now to, as a matter of review, Psalm 78. And in Psalm 78, we can see here that it's the heart of God that we that our lives be a testament to our children. We share righteousness with our children on an ongoing basis. Verse 1 says, give ear, O people, to my law. Incline thine ears to the words of my mouth. And I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he has done. For he has established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which shall be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Praise the name of the Lord. So we can see here that this is several lessons, we kind of traced that through the scripture and saw that how God wanted to pass on the anointing, pass on the blessing from one generation to the next generation. So it's vitally important that we understand that that's your true role. While you're trying to raise a genius, God really is concerned about you raising a godly individual. Amen. We're supposed to be putting forth our efforts to raise godly children, giving them a God consciousness by both precept, teaching them the scripture, and by example, by walking uprightly before them. Amen? Now, in Revelations there, chapter 14, we looked at a situation, Revelations chapter 12, verse 4. We looked at this on last night to understand the intense battle that's going on for the control of our children's lives. All right? Revelations chapter 12, verse 4 says, and his tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven. Now, it's referencing here, it's talking about the dragon symbolic, and did cast them to the earth. Now, this is a scripture that references how Satan was able to deceive and cause to fall a third of the host of heaven. And so now they are the fallen spirits, the fallen angels that are here in the earth. And that's important that we understand that these fallen spirits are in the earth, and they're in the earth to wreak havoc on the people of God. Now watch this. Look what it says here. It says, and the dragon stood before the woman. Woman, a type of the church, all right, which was ready to be delivered, to devour her children as soon as it was, devour her child as soon as it was born. So we have to understand that the devil is at work to destroy our children. He's at work now in order to warp their lives, in order to destroy their lives, in order to keep them from having a heart toward God. That is a real battle that the people of God have to face. Now, I really have to stay on this. I really have to hammer this home, because many times I think we get so comfortable in our Christianity, thinking that church is about, you know, me having a place to be buried from, me going somewhere to get encouraged, you know, when I'm down, you know, me having a place to fellowship with my friends, and we lose sight that that's not what Jesus had in mind, that he wants to build an army. That we're supposed to be an army of righteous folk who are in the process of taking a generation. I mean, that's what we're supposed to be about. Not sitting back filing our nails, you know, just having a good little teas and annual days. Amen. And I really think it grieves the heart of God to see how passive most Christians are. Look at the person say, he's not talking about you. He's not talking about you. He's not talking about you. How passive most Christians are when it comes to doing the work of God. Yeah. How passive most of them are. I sat down today and had a good long talk with our children's church director, person who's in charge of that. And her main concern was the lack of commitment. Those who have stepped forward to say they wanted to be a part of children's ministry, the lack of commitment that they have. That they say they'll show up and won't show up. Come on now. I mean, how is that possible? Remember, the way you measure it out is the way you can expect it to be measured back to you. So you have no righteous expectation for God to be speedily with you or on time with you, as it were, in any situation. Because the way you measure it out is the way it's measured back to you. But see, there again, that just shows how passive we are. You can't throw a rock at the disciples when the disciples wanted to push the children in the back corner. Children wanted to come to Jesus, and the disciples said, no, y'all, Jesus ain't got time for y'all. We got some things to do. We got to go feed the hungry. You know, we got to go, you know, open some blinded eyes. You know what I'm saying? We got some things. With crippled folk got to get healed. Got some devils got to cast out. Jesus ain't got time for y'all. And Jesus heard him. Said, what? Follow me. And then Jesus said, no. You know, let the children alone. Let them come to me. And forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. I mean, Jesus, you got to understand the passion that we must develop for this generation. Because the devil is doing everything he can to eradicate the God consciousness from this society. Hallelujah. I'm preaching real good. I know I am. And I know that this parenting seminar is much more than teaching you how to be a good parent. But God wants to do something corporately in this church when it comes to teens and when it comes to children. It's our assignment. I sense the power of God, the Spirit of God, the anointing of God, convicting power of God, to bring you to a place where you understand your responsibility individually as a parent, but then moreover, your corporate responsibility to the children that God wants to touch through this ministry. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, now. Turn with me in your Bibles now to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. And we get back into these 10 things every parent has to do for their child, should do for their child, so that you instill a God consciousness, give them the opportunity to develop into a well-balanced, whole individual. Verse 4 says, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of scriptures might have hope. So we're going to go back to the time of beginnings, going back to Genesis, understanding that this passage says, things that were written, they were written aforetime for our learning, so that we through patience and the comfort of the scriptures, through what was written, that we might have hope, we might receive direction, we might receive instruction for our lives. All right, turn with me now to Genesis chapter 1. Amen. Now in Genesis chapter 1, we're going to look at God, who is... Ooh, you got to agree with me, had to be the best father around, right? Best parent around had to be God. What God did for Adam in chapter 1, chapter 2, and then in chapter 3, gives us a good pattern and some good insights into things that we must do for our children in order to bring them to a place of God consciousness. Now, this parenting series is not about trying to get you to understand, you know, what they say on Oprah and all that kind of stuff with time out and all that kind of stuff. I ain't know that. I ain't got a problem that's what you want to do, but I'm going by what the Word of God says. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Got it? The foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction drives it far from him. That's the kind of parent I'm talking about. I'm not talking about one of these new age parents, because the new age haven't produced much. Got it? You know, I mean, the solid citizens are those who came up with the rod, not with the timeout. Man, I would have laughed at my mama. She talking about some timeout. Okay, she talking about timeout. I've been in the nursing home about some timeout. I said, that's all I get? Is that all we get? Go sit in the corner? Is that it? And believe me, that's what the children are doing right now to you, huh? Oh, timeout. Oh, okay. All right, yeah, all right. When you make a world, I know I got some sociologists and some, you know, psychologists who get upset with me that you shouldn't make fun of that. No, but when you make a world and you make your own man, then I let you write a book on how to raise him. That's just me. Yeah, nobody have to go along with me. You do what you want to. Got it? Do what you want to. You give all the time out you want to. You can do what you want to. I'm just saying, but ask for me. Got it? I'm going with God's guide. Hallelujah. I believe I got some witnesses in the house. All right, so we want to follow the Genesis example here. And there in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, and earth was out form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. First point we made last night was that God brought Adam into an organized world. So you must first organize your world. I cannot reteach last night. I'm just going to mention it and I'll move on. All right, secondly, in Genesis... In the book of Genesis, it says how God prepared for Adam's full development. He prepared for his development naturally, for his development spiritually, and he prepared for his development academically. All right? So how was that possible? You know, first of all, we see that God had food for Adam before he made Adam. He didn't make Adam and say, oh man, the boy hungry, I forgot to make some food. No, God made provision. So we said, it is unfair for you to bring a child into this world that you can't take care of. Amen. Hallelujah, amen. So there's some things you ought to have in order when you bring a child into the world. Then God prepared for him academically. We say, well, what did God do for him academically? He gave him an academic exercise of naming creation. All right. And then thirdly, God prepared, he prepared and ministered to Adam spiritually by giving him the spiritual project of obedience. That was the purpose of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and the restriction that he had on not touching the tree. Because every day he walked past that, he was demonstrating God's lordship over his life, and he was walking in obedience. So God prepared for Adam's tripartite development, body, soul, and spirit. So must you do that the same to your child. You must prepare for your child's, prepare for your child and lead your child into development in all three areas. Do not sacrifice a child's spiritual development, you know, for their academic development or their physical development. All right. Number three, God took personal responsibility with Adam. Genesis chapter 2, we can see that real clearly there. Genesis chapter 2. It says, and the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground, breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, last night, we traced through the personal attention that God gave to Adam. He formed him from the dust of the ground. I mean, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he ministered to Adam. We went all through the scripture and found out then, verse 15, how he took him and put him in the garden. And then how he talked with him. And how he brought the animals to Adam. He gave Adam oversight in Adam's name in the creatures. He did all of this, spending this personal time. So we said that it's important that we spend some personal quality time with our children. Amen? Everybody say personal quality time. Amen. Our children need four things. Everybody needs four things to develop a wholesome, well-balanced self-image. Everybody needs love. Everybody needs to be accepted. Everybody needs security. And everybody needs to be needed. And so we have to start at a very early age loving our children, having them know that we accept them just like they are, having them know that they are in a secure environment, that they are protected by us, and having them know that they have a place of value in our lives. Amen. Everybody needs to be loved. Everybody say everybody needs to be loved. All right. Everybody needs to be accepted. Everybody needs to have a sense of security. And then everybody needs to be needed. Those are the components of a well-balanced self-image. Know that I'm loved. Know that I'm accepted just like I am. I know also that no matter what anybody else says, I know that I have a sense of being protected. I feel secure in relationship, feel a sense of physical security, and then I need to be needed. I know that somebody needs me. Amen. Nobody wants to feel like they're a parasite. Amen. All right. Now, then, number four, we found out God was the, I think that's what we closed on last night, didn't we? That God was the role model that Adam needed. He was the role model that Adam needed. And so you and I must be the role model for our children. We must train and teach our children by example. There in chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 28. All right, it says, and the Lord... Verse 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth." So, verse 27, Genesis 1, 27. "So God created man in his own image, and the image of God created he him, male and female created he them." So, you and I must choose to be what we want our children to be, become. We must choose to be now what we want our children to come. So we have the responsibility as a parent to pass on the natural wisdom that you have, the spiritual wisdom that you have. You have a responsibility to pass that on. And you can't pass it on if you won't take time with your children.
Amen.
Amen. I think you should pass on even the skills and things like that that you have. Amen. You know, I look at it from a father's perspective. I don't look for a wife's perspective too, because some of y'all need to teach your children how to cook. You're gonna do a man a grave injustice. Amen. You're going to do a brother serious injustice. I ain't getting many amens now. All I'm getting is the men laughing. You finally, and the ladies giving me the old steely eye. Like, you don't scare me. I ain't scared of you. All right. Now, we need to pass on skills, training, things like that. We do need to do that. You don't die with your skill. And have not passed it on to your child. Amen. Even if the child never uses it, at least they ought to know. But see, we need to have a sense of understanding that that's our responsibility. You got it? I like to use myself as illustration. At the same time, I don't want you trying to dump on my parents either. It's because I fight you about my daddy now. Now, my father was a barber, but my brother and I know nothing about that. Got it? And I decided to put down him because he didn't understand the obligation of doing that. Follow me? He was also an auto trimmer. He did auto trimming and that sort of thing. But we know nothing about it. Got it? Well, that ought not to be. Got it? You got to take time to pass on what you know to others. Got it? Now, of course, you know, everybody know Irisha is a developing minister. Well, Irisha is developing rapidly. Why? Because me and Dr. B take time and sit down with her. You got it? I sit down with her. I explain to her, you know, preaching. I explain to her studying the Bible. You got it? I tell her you have to enjoy the preaching moment. That it ought not be something that's a struggle. If it's a struggle, you know, you're doing something wrong. You need to enjoy it. Well, I'm taking the skill that I have in this particular area and sowing it into her lives. I'm not sitting back going, "I got mine, you better get your own." Ought not to be. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, some of you ladies need to teach your children how to cook and sew. I know some of y'all say, "We all know." How are we going to teach them what we don't know? Heaven help both of y'all. No, okay. We want my lesson. All right, now. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Go there with us. We used it before. The highest order of instruction is by example. You need to keep your child around so they can see what you do. A nation will forget God if one generation sets a poor example. Therefore, if you can change one generation, then that generation will change the next one. And so on, and so on, and so on. All right? So Deuteronomy chapter 6, this is the wisdom that God gave Moses concerning parenting. Are you there? All right, verse 6 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart," your heart first. Got it? "And thou shalt," verse 7, "thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them," Talk of what? Talking about the word of God now. When thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So he's saying, look, this righteousness and integrity and the law of God should permeate every fabric of your life. Amen. Now see, if you love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength, that's not hard. Problem is, some of you don't love the Lord that much. You understand? It's just a church thing. Hallelujah. And you're almost embarrassed to talk about God away from this place. And you got to change. Change is a product of human effort sustained by divine help. And so what you must do now is you must understand, it's your obligation to instill God consciousness in your child. God's holding you responsible for that. You're going to have to answer to God for that. So it's time to be about the business of building a godly child. Amen and amen. All right, now, turn with your Bibles now. Let's go back to Genesis, to Genesis chapter 1. And let's move to the fifth thing that we see that God did for Adam that we must do for our children. The fifth thing that God did for Adam that we must do for our children. All right? We'll pick it up there in verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, now bless, are you there? I still hear pages. Bless means he empowered him to prosper. So the point is, as God taught Adam the principles for successful living, you must teach your children the principles for successful living. See, God taught Adam how to succeed. All right, verse 28 says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. If that ain't success, successful teaching and ingraining success in him, I don't know what it is. He didn't tell Adam to be sometimes up, sometimes down, and sometimes almost level to the down. He didn't tell him to barely make it. That's not to teach it. No, I mean, look, when he's talking about telling them to be fruitful, right? He's telling them what? Multiply. He's telling them to replenish. All those sounds like increase words. Subdue it, a dominion. He's building in Adam an increase mentality. And that's serious there. You got to really understand. That is serious that we see God here doing what every parent ought to do. No matter what economic state you're in, you've got to build a desire for better in your child. And not blame your child for your state. Now, what do you mean by that? Blame your child for the condition you're living in. Well, if I hadn't had you, I could have went to college. I was enrolled. And I'm about to tell you to lay up in the back seat of that car. You understand? Nobody tell you to do that. Lose your scholarship. Nobody tell you to do that. You did that of your own. Hallelujah. So quit blaming your child for your state. And build in your child an increase mentality. Now I'm going to tell you, I got to thank Gladys and Ted for that. Now, I can call my mama Glass and Tear, but you can't. They built in us a desire for better. Got it? We grew up in serious poverty. Really, I only realized how serious it was now that I can look back. I'm serious. I went the other day back to my neighborhood. I'm telling you, it's serious third world. I didn't say third world. I said third world. No. Since I've had an opportunity to travel and go to third world countries, when I went back to my neighborhood, it looked just like some third world countries that I've seen in my travels. And the pastors that I had with me marveled. They went, man, how can a guy who comes out of this environment have such big dreams? Man, because even though I was in the ghetto never got in me. And who can you credit that to? You gotta credit that to my mama and my daddy. Jesus, neither one of them finished college. But they gave me an opportunity and gave everybody in the family an opportunity to go. Now, my sister got a degree. She went on to college. Me, they, you know, gave me an opportunity. I went a couple of years, and then I figured that wasn't what I wanted to do. But it wasn't their fault. You see what I'm saying? You've got to instill in your child an increased mentality. It does not come without purposeful effort. Amen. You know, I go back and I think about all the little things I used to do. And my mom was always telling me, I can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I'd have some of the wildest dreams. Say, oh, yeah, you can do it. Oh, yeah, you can do it. I mean, some of the craziest little dreams. Oh, yeah, you can do it. Got it? And I was one of these little kids who draw little pictures and all that sort of thing. You know, bring up, you know, they probably didn't look like much, you understand? But she'd always, oh, yeah, oh, that's so nice. I remember that, you understand? I remember that. I'm having a moment. You understand? I remember that. I remember that encouragement, you understand? That encouraged that. And I kept drawing and I kept drawing. And I became a pretty good artist. Increase. Everybody say increase. Then you've got to build increase in your children. So what God told Adam, he told him to be fruitful. Number two, he told Adam to multiply. And that is to learn to invest yourself in others so others can do what you can do. Amen. Number three, he told Adam to replenish the earth. In other words, he told him to leave a significant deposit in earth. Don't just be a taker, be a giver. Number four, he told Adam to subdue. This is very important. That is to learn to overcome adversity with strategies and intelligence. You got to teach your child how to handle adversity with something other than his fist. Thank you. We got a hand clap back there. Who was that? Give my hand clap. Who was that clap? Swear, who's supposed to give my hand clap? Start my hand clap back there. Baby, I'm going to give you a free tape. Thank you. God bless you. All right, now listen. I'm serious. You gotta teach your child how to think through adversity so that they will learn to handle adversity with their intelligence and not with their muscle. With their brain and not their brawn. Sound pretty good, don't kind of round hooking it up. You're hooking it up, all right. I want you to get the point now. You follow me? But God had to teach Adam. He didn't expect Adam to know it automatically. He had to teach. So that means, look, if you don't know these things, you got to learn them. You got it? And then the fifth thing he told Adam to do was he told him to have dominion. And that is to learn to rule and to manage through wisdom. Not just to get it, but learn how to keep it. And those are the components of successful living. To be productive. Got it? To be productive. You ought to have something that you're adding to the earth. Amen, amen, amen. Multiply, learning how to work with and through others. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, but it's your responsibility to teach your child principles for successful living. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, now. Okay. Look there with me in Genesis chapter, I think it's chapter 1, verse 29. All right, watch this. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Verse 29 shows us, and this is the sixth thing that we must teach our children, that God gave Adam an understanding of the sowing and reaping process. Sowing and reaping process. God taught Adam about sowing and reaping. Got it? Now, success in my own life became, I said like this, a serious possibility. I really could be successful once I understood the seed time principle, seed time harvest principle. Now, seed time harvest, and God just get your mind off of just thinking money. But the seed time harvest principle is that before reaping takes place, some sowing has to take place. I mean, that's in any area of life. I see, many people lack the understanding of the sowing and reaping process. So on their jobs, they're wanting a raise, and they haven't sown anything. Because, see, they don't understand the sowing and reaping process, that you normally have to demonstrate you're worth the money before you get the money. Nobody gives you the money and says, now prove that you can work, you're worth it. That's not how life operates. Nobody goes to a spot of ground and says, okay, you give me some fruit, I'll give you a seed. And that's not life, right? But believe it or not, that's the mentality of most people. If a person doesn't understand sowing and reaping, they develop a welfare mentality. A gimme, a handout, give me something first. Got it? And you have to teach your children that they have to work in order to get something. That work is not a curse. I've gotten a few pitiful more hand claps. But I'm preaching good. I know I am. But without God, teaching your children to work. Now, in our generation, okay, yeah, you got enough money to handle where they don't have to work. But that's still not an excuse to teach them to work. Amen. I'm gonna just leave y'all and go to Bull Mount, take the truck with me, give y'all the TV. Y'all don't help me here, all right? Now watch this. I'm serious about this. Teaching your child sowing and reaping principles. You can start when they're very young. You got it? Teaching them that effort is rewarded. And not having them think that everybody owes me a handout. You got it? When that child comes home with a bad grade, you follow me? You don't join in with the child to talk about the teacher. Got it? No. You want to take them back to the sowing and reaping principles. Now, what did you sow? Did you sow steady? Were you prepared for the test? If you did not sow steady, and if you were not prepared for the test, you reaped a bad grade that you sow. Got it? It's very small lessons that make serious impacts on our children. So you've got to teach them sowing and reaping. Got it? And this is beyond what we're talking about with putting some dollar in church. And you know, I ain't got no problem with you teaching that. And you need to teach them that as well. But the principle of sowing and reaping is far beyond what you put in an offering. And God had to teach Adam the power of his seed. So he had to teach Adam that in the seed is your future. You got it? He said, now, in the seed is another tree. If you want another tree, you got to understand it's in the seed in your hand. And you're not going to get the next tree until you sow the seed that's in your hand so you can get the next tree so you can get some more meat. Hallelujah. Whew. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. All right, now, so here's some lessons we need to teach our children. Number one, we need to teach them that the seed never looks like what it will become. All right? Number two, we need to teach them that the size of the seed should never discourage the sowing. Amen. Glory to God. And that the seed is already pre-programmed to reproduce. And that's important because they got to understand that they will reap if they sow. That that's the law in the earth. That if you put forth the effort, it must come back. I mean, that's the law that's in the earth. And see, because I understand that, I understand that whatever good effort I put forth, it's got to pay off in some dividends in the future. Seed leaves my hand. You hear me saying all the time, but it never leaves my life. It's got to come back. And it's so, I really need to go on. But it's so amazing in my life now, the seed that's coming back in my life. It is so amazing. You got it? Because as I have loved and sown into the lives of others, just out of love and doing it, there are people who just love me and just sow back into my life. Almost sometimes while I don't do that. You don't have to do that. Well, now they almost have to, because it's got to come back. I got to drop this in on you. Because I'm kind of excited. In Africa, I took off my ring and sold it. And a minister called me the other day and said, Pastor, I bought you a ring for your birthday. And I got to tell you, I can't wait to see it. He told me it was full of flash. He said, it's full of flash. I can hardly wait to see it. But the sowing principle must work. Amen. It got to work. That's why the Bible says, don't be weary in well doing, for ye shall reap in due season if you. Look at the person next to you and say, your season is coming. Come on, that's all. Your season is coming. Come on, encourage the next person. Your season is coming, because the Bible says it. Hallelujah. Okay. All right, Genesis chapter 2. We can just take off on that. They won't even be about parenting. They just be about sowing and reaping. Oh, God. Amen. Teaching your children to do that. Children have to have hope, knowing that if they put forth effort. I was taught by my parents that if I would work, that work, hard work would pay off. Got it? If I would work, that it would pay off. I never stole, because I understood that that's something you reap when you steal. And it wasn't good. And my daddy told me, son, if you ever get put in jail, don't call me. Yeah? Now, he told me that. He said, you ever get out here and do something dumb, get put in jail, don't call me. Please. Because I ain't going to come. I ain't going to give them folk my money. Of course, he said them white folk, you understand? But that's what he mentioned. He said, ain't going to give to them. You understand? Because that time, you know, it's not really the white folk. When you pay money to taxes, you're not giving it to white folk. You're giving it to the country. And you're part of the country, so you're giving it to yourself. But at that time, that was his mentality. But I hear that ring. You know, he just tell me. He tell me, no, don't even call me. Don't call me. Told me don't call him for two things: getting in jail and and running out of gas. See, don't even call me. If you run out of gas, don't call me. So I am not going to come get you. That's the stupidest thing to do, to have an automobile and run out of gas. Got it? And guess what? I ain't never called him because I ran out of gas. I ain't never called him. You got to come get me out of jail. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, can I do this? I don't think I can. Okay, I'm going to just say it and then we'll pick it up next time. And that is, God instructed Adam in proper stewardship of his possessions. Taught Adam, verse 15 of Genesis chapter 2. He taught Adam proper stewardship. Verse 15 says, and the Lord took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Everybody say dress it. Dress it. And to keep it. Now that's proper stewardship. Stewardship is demonstrated by the care that you have for what has been entrusted to you. That's stewardship. And so God didn't put Adam there and just let Adam run wild. But Adam was steward over the creation. Got it? Here's some lessons in stewardship we must teach our children. We must teach them that everything belongs to God. And we have been entrusted with that care. Everything belongs to God. Why? The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we've got to communicate to our children that it all belongs to God. Secondly, we've got to communicate to them that God deserves our best care over what he's placed in our hands. When you see your car as God's car, car that God had trusted in you, you're going to treat it better. When you see your mate, people around you, as a relationship that God allows you to have, that he's holding you accountable for, you're going to deal with them differently. My whole attitude changed toward Bridget when I understand she wasn't just O.C.'s daughter, that's her father, O.C. Harrison, but she was the daughter of the Lord Jesus Christ. She's God's daughter, you understand? Hey, God entrusted me and allowed me to marry his daughter. You know what I'm saying? I got to do better. Following that was my attitude. I got to do better. Number three, we must teach our children that time is valuable and should be respected. That time is a valuable commodity. Stewardship over time is something that we must value and must always be respected. Not only our time, but the time of others. And therefore, we should not, you know, develop an attitude of being late, a habit of being late. Because to be late is to disrespect the time of others. All right? Number four, stewardship principle is that our talent is a gift of God given to us to serve God. To serve God first. Got it? That my talent is not given for me to make money with. It's given me to serve God. Got it? Number five, that what others have must be respected and protected in our care. Got it? What others have. Because that principle is so rooted in me. I mean, there are some things I can't do with rented cars. I can't get a rental car and just mistreat it. You know, because even though it's not mine, it's in my care. You know, some people just get a rental car and dog it out. I can't do that. You know, and then I'm real conscious when people can't take care. See, if you don't take care of your own things, why should I give you my things? And then, you know, there are times when I have to, you know, that people give me things or I have to entrust people with things. I tell them how I want them to take care of. I remember I gave one of the ladies at the retreat center some fish in one of my coolers. And I do this by habit. And that is, I told them, I want my cooler back. I want it washed. You understand? I'm just very direct. I want it washed. You understand? I don't want it back dirty. Well, you know, the Lord lately be like, you don't have to tell me that. And I understand. I knew I didn't, but it's just a habit with me because people don't know how to treat your stuff. Now listen to me. I know I'm right because church folk misuse God's stuff. Amen. I mean, wait. I'm talking about the stuff in God's house. They put gum under God's chairs. See, that ain't right. They put gum on God's floor. I mean, like you outside, like you spit the gum on the floor. Come on now. And then in the laser club, they were stealing God's silverware. They lack home training. Well, if you didn't steal no silverware, I ain't talking to you. But if you stole a silverware, you got some laser club silverware and some laser club napkins at your house, I'm talking to you. You lack home training. Your mom and daddy should have done a better job. Okay. See, you can't get mad. If you get mad, we're going to know it's you. Finally, what you have is enough to demonstrate to God you can be trusted with more. So never be covetous of what anybody has. Teach your children that what you have is enough to demonstrate you can be trusted with more. I'm out of time. Amen. First session is over. Dr. Bridget, are you ready? Okay. I don't anybody get upset with me because I say your mama didn't train you right. You know what I'm saying? She didn't learn the lesson. She may have trained you. I have to get out of it.
For more information on the teaching ministry of Dr. Zavi and Bridget Hilliard at New Light Christian Center Church in Houston, Texas, write Light Ministries, Post Office Box 670167, Houston, Texas 77267, or call 281-875-4448. You can also call toll-free 800-908-4222. And remember, we are changing lives through faith.